Well, one thing Barack Obama has been wildly successful at is selling guns. Selling guns. Over 12.8 concealed handgun permits last year saw by far the largest increase ever in the number of permits here in this country. Here to talk more about that is Dr. John Lott, the man who knows guns inside and out. Doctor, welcome back to the program.
Great to talk to you.
I want to talk about two things here. First of all, the number of concealed handgun permits just soaring, apparently, from 4.6 million in 2007 to over 12.8 million now. Increase, why the dramatic increase now? What do you think is the motivating factor here?
Well, I think there are a couple of reasons. One, over the whole time period, I think, as you say, the president's had a big impact, just as he's had a big impact on gun sales generally. But we've seen it accelerate. It's gone up dramatically over the last couple of years, even as you mentioned, 1.7 million just this last year. And I think a lot of that has to do with people's changing perceptions about guns. I mean, you look at the polls, and people believe that having a gun makes them safer. You know, whether it's in the home, Gallup has a survey that finds that, in 2000, there were about 35% of Americans who thought having a gun in the home made them safer. Last December, it was up to 63%. And when you look at other types of surveys that ask, does owning a gun generally make you safer, you see similar dramatic changes that have occurred.
Isn't that, to me it almost seems counterintuitive. That, with all these high-profile, these shootings that we've had that have been very high-profile in the last, 5 years, and all the hype that the media gives these and the incessant coverage and the negative implications put out there by the president and some members of Congress and so forth, and yet the American public continues to embrace guns in an ever more, it seems. It seems counterintuitive to me that it's going that way, but it seems that maybe Americans are cutting through the noise to get to the core of it.
Well, I think so. Now, I have no idea whether this is going to continue. Obviously, over the last year, Bloomberg has been very successful in funding these studies that have gotten a huge amount of media attention. If people go to our website at crimeresearch.org, there's a number of recent studies that he's had that we point to. That we go through, point out the problems with them. You and I have talked about them on your last show and other times. It's always amazing to me how massive the media coverage is of these stories and how uncritical their coverage is.
They just take it and they basically regurgitate it. Whatever it says, hey, there's the headline, here's the facts. They don't look into it at all. They just take it on faith.
And they don't ask anybody else for critical comments on it. And I'm sure that has an impact, and my guess is over the next year and a half, going up to the 2016 election, we're going to see more of those types of studies that come out than we've ever seen before in the past. Whether things will continue to change, I don't know, but you have literally hundreds of millions of dollars from Bloomberg, from George Soros, from Obama using federal government money, funding studies that support their viewpoint. And, who knows? At some point, maybe the deluge will have an impact. But just at least up till now, at least up through last December, if you look at these polls, and one poll that we mentioned in this report is from March, it's continued to go in the other direction, though, that people have understood that there's limits to what police can do, even though they are extremely important in reducing crime, and that allowing individuals to defend themselves is an important last step in terms of people's safety.
The last line of defense, absolutely. We're on the line with Dr. John Lott, the man who's done more research on guns and gun statistics and found out the facts over all the noise than anybody else. Here's a story that is disturbing, though. A jail clerk apparently made a mistake when entering the information about the location of a drug arrest for the church shooting suspect in Charleston, South Carolina. As a result, he bought a gun that he was not entitled to buy, and we know the end result of that was 9 dead Bible study parishioners. How do we prevent that sort of thing?
Well, somehow this is assuming that even if the background check had worked perfectly in this case, that it would have made a difference. And I just don't think that that's the case. That, look, I mean, this guy was planning this attack for over 6 months in advance. When he had bought the gun, it had been stolen back, it had been taken back from him, and he had to go and steal it back from his parents, unbeknownst to them, that he had broken in and gotten the gun back. So, I mean, even if he hadn't been able to buy the gun, the family had other guns, apparently. He could have stolen one of the other guns that they had. Or even if the family didn't have any guns, he could have gone in 6 months, figured out some way to go and get another weapon that he could have used.
Yeah, if he wants to do, and he's on the track to do those crimes, then he'll find, you know, it'll find the path of least resistance to get there. I'll give you 20 seconds for the last
one. It's a long time to try to figure out how you're going to commit a crime like that.
All right, yeah, it's unfortunate, but, you know, just try to focus on the headlines that are out there, Doctor, as always. Dr. John Lott, a pleasure, very informative, as usual. Give the folks your website, if you would.
Yeah, sure. They can find everything at crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org.
And if you want to know the latest stories out there, like dispelling the myths of Bloomberg, Dr. Lott will have you thinking clearly in just a few moments on his website. Doctor, always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.